I'm so glad that you were able to join us. Today we have Pastor Adam back, and so we have Pastor Adam, Pastor Wayne.
Oh, we're doing
Good. Straight signs. You gotta have some cred.
Yes. Well, oh, Wayne's
moving on.
I got street cred.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Pastor Wayne with the street cred.
Yes.
That's right.
Or as we like to say, P-Whistle. Okay.
We
Shut this down.
We have to stop. Okay, anyway, and we have Pastor Lou, who is in the comments with you. So if you're here today, please drop him a line and let him know that you are here. We're glad you're here. He's glad you're here. And this past Sunday, we were in John again, and we heard about Nicodemus. And so I think we're just going to sort of start off, if you all each want to go through and sort of pick out some points from your sermons.
If I can remember what I said, one thing that struck me about Nicodemus as I was thinking about this time is he sounds a lot like me.
Yeah.
That, you know, Jesus, I know you're a good guy, and I believe you're from God, and I got some questions. And then when Jesus starts talking to him, his question is, how do we do that? Give me the formula or the steps. You know, I'll do it if you tell me how to do it. That's kind of where I think my heart is. And for a long time, that was a struggle for me. I wanted to know the how part. I wanted to get it right. I wanted to do God's will for my life. And I think kind of what I found in there is that Jesus says, you know, it's not that simple. It's not that hard, but it's just not that simple. It's more complicated than that in terms of discovering exactly what it is. But it's remembering that that it is following Jesus, and that's kind of a discovery. It's something that we figure out as we go along. And we've talked about it being trial and error, hit and miss. And I think that's kind of, for me, and maybe this is just, you know, finding a convenient excuse for when I mess up or when I miss it, but it just seems like there is so much of following Jesus that is, this is the best thing I know to do. This is the next step. This is right. Maybe that's right too, but I don't know which one, so this is what I'm going to do. Or I don't know, so I'm just going to wait. And that's not because God tells me to do that necessarily in a way that is unique, but he just doesn't answer my how question the same way Jesus didn't answer Nicodemus's how question. It's encouraging to me to discover that that has been how Jesus has dealt with people. And so I hope and I believe that Nicodemus' heart was sincere. He wanted to know, to figure this out. And Jesus didn't really give him clear answers. And the same way that he doesn't always give me clear answers. But there's still, this attachment, this bond that's created as he invites us. You know, he doesn't give Nicodemus steps or formulas, but he gives him a promise and an invitation. You can see the kingdom of God. You can enter it. It is possible for you to participate in the kingdom of heaven. It's not a real, clear-cut way that works, but that's what he invites us into. And so I think that that's very relevant to my life and my experience as a Christian. It was helpful to me, and that we talked some about the born again experience and how we have kind of reduced that to a formula that Jesus never meant it to be that. Nicodemus would not have heard that as a simple thing. He would have no context really for what born again means, and so it's not go to the altar, ask Jesus to forgive your sins and ask him into your heart, which is what I grew up with. But it is an invitation to a new life and to new possibilities. And sometimes that born again, a lot of people do experience that in a moment that they can point to and say, I know that at this moment my life changed. Mm-hmm. And I know
that's a great thing.
Yeah, it is. If you have that, that's a great thing.
Because God works that way.
He certainly does, yeah. I mean, we have examples in Scripture and people we know, that's their testimony. At this moment, I ask Jesus in my heart, and my life changed. And that's a wonderful thing. For me, if you ask me when I was saved, I'd have to say, I don't know. But I do know that at this moment, Jesus is in my life, and I trust him, mm-hmm. and I'm figuring out what that looks like. So that's kind of what, you may not remember it that way, that's kind of what
I
did.
I didn't remember
the song.
The song? So yeah, a song you grew up with where you had
right.
used, like if you were saved
save
on a
Monday. Right, you stood up and mm-hmm. Tuesday, and so always by Friday or so I was in a panic because I don't know which day it was, so I got to get up Friday or Saturday to make sure everybody doesn't make me. Didn't think I'm a bad person, so I would choose a day, usually on Friday or Saturday. I was desperate, mm-hmm. so.
I liked your idea, and by the way, when we write sermons, somebody usually does the lead on research and brings that. So Wayne, you did that this time. So you had some things that I think were new and fresh, which is partly why we do it as a team, because we learn from each other. It's so creative and really wonderful. But the idea that being born again was completely new, in the history of Israel, nobody had ever said it that way.
Right.
So no wonder Nicodemus didn't understand it. But you also said that we probably ought to give Nicodemus a break, that through Christian tradition, because he didn't understand it, and because he came to Jesus at night, and because he kind of was on the side with the bad guys, so to speak, or whatever, he's kind of gotten a bad rap. And I think it's better to think of him as more like us, and we don't get it, and we don't understand it. And when it comes down to trying to figure out what we can know, how do we know God,
mm-hmm.
and then what do we do about it?
Right.
Those are big questions that we don't ever get resolved on.
Right.
And what continues to be so amazing attractional about Jesus is, like, the more you understand and the more you read, the more you are in awe of him, I think.
Right,
so this story is a great example of how Nicodemus comes with not only his own categories and not only his own preconceived notions, but with his own set of questions. Like, okay, we got to get this figured out. And we all do that.
Right? That's good.
We're coming from our set, perspective. I mean, maybe our tradition, we have the same questions that, we've been handed down. And sometimes we answer a question, and then there's a theological debate, and then there's another question, and it's like we get 16 generations down the road, and like we're talking about these like key theological things that are really important to us. No, don't matter to anybody else, right? And probably don't even have anything to do with God. I'm trying to think of an example of that, but like some just pat kind of theological debates that have been handed down to us. Because we think that's what the Bible is, or that's what a relationship with God is. Because that's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And we start with what we know.
Right.
And when Nicodemus does that, Jesus, like, pretty clearly reveals to him almost immediately what he doesn't know. Like, you think it's about this.
Right.
And you're like, it's like, he doesn't answer the question at all.
Yeah.
He says, is it apples or oranges? And Jesus, like, it's zebras.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
Yep. Yeah.
So this idea of being born again, it is ironic that we have, in some ways, turned that into a formula. You got to be born again. Okay, well, then let's be born again.
Right.
There are some things about that don't fit into any formula, right?
Right.
The movement of God that Jesus said blows is a wind that blows like it will, that grabs a hold of your life and transforms you. You can't bottle that.
Right.
You can't necessarily, like, we create worship experiences where we hope, that engages people, but that may or may not happen, right?
Yep.
So you can't be in charge of that. And then to be born again, I think one of the points I made was we focus on the moment of being born, when for every single one of us, that's a big moment, but the whole reason you celebrate somebody's birthday is not because, you were born on a Tuesday, but because there's a life that follows that.
Yeah.
So I got myself into trouble at the 11 o'clock service because I said, I've never said this out in public, that I send birthday cards to a lot of people at church. But we have like 2,000 members, so like I needed to find a way to, like, you send birthday cards to everybody, right? At Greenwood, I had to find a way to do this that was manageable, and there are other. So I felt like if you live to be a certain age, I'm not going to tell you what that is, then you deserve a birthday card, right? And it was just a way to stay in contact.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm going to relate to these people this way, these people this way. So I send a birthday card to people after they reach a certain age. I'm not going to tell you what that is. And I said that at 11 o'clock, and I'm like, what am I doing? Oh, my God. So I said, and I just couldn't get out of it. Yeah. And so I said something to the effect of, we celebrate your birthday because at some point we're all just happy that you're still alive.
That's awful, a good cover up. That's really good.
But then I said about my boys, you know, Isaac's birthday was last week, Luke's birthday is next week. And the older I get as a dad, the more I realize that, I mean, I was there when it happened.
Right.
And that day is important to remember. But it's more about celebrating that I have a son, that my kid has life. Right.
Right.
And that's what it's really about. And that's what I think Jesus meant about, a large part of what Jesus meant about being born again.
Yeah.
It's like, you really got to think about this, throw all those old categories out, and imagine what it's like to have everything changed.
Yeah.
For your relationship to God, as in the intro to the Gospel of John, that we would be have the right to become children of God, not born by, you know, human decisions, but not of flesh and blood, but born of God.
Right.
And so that every relationship, every way you engage the world, everything is restarted.
Right.
So the phrasing can be translated born again. It could really, I think, be translated reborn. And it, another translation is born from above. So it's like being born into the life of heaven from above now.
Right. Yeah. Jesus says, I've shown you earthly things, and this is the best I can do, but what you're going to experience is heavenly things.
Yes.
And that doesn't need explanation. You just have to experience that. That's that gift. And that idea that we are born from above, John 1 talks about, like you said, not the will of man, but the will of God. This is His choice, His initiative, His delight is that we become His children. It's pretty profound.
So then we come alongside. So I mean, especially a sermon, like, okay, so what do you do with that? You know, right?
Right.
Like, is there something to do?
Yeah.
And there, I think there is.
Yeah.
But we know what we're doing then. We're living into a thing that's been done for us. We're taking steps out of the life, when John 3:16 says we're that we would not perish but have eternal life.
Right.
What that means is not we go to heaven when we die. It means that we have the best sort of life possible, the life of eternity, for always.
Right.
You know, eternity is already in session, right? So are we living into that now?
Mm-hmm.
The hope is that Jesus makes that possible now.
Right. Yeah.
So we're born into the best sort of life possible. That's
And that's
a gift.
When we talk about the resurrection, the reason we talk about that so much is because that is this thing that they had been looking forward to all through the Old Testament, is that God would give them a life that was beyond death, that His life would come in. And so we have this evidence that God is able to give us that life here and now. And it wasn't what they expected, but it's better than they expected, better than what they could have hoped for, is that God would find a way to give us that life here and now, not just then and there. Us into that. I think there are ways that we can recognize when the wind is blowing in our lives.
And put up a sail.
Right. You can't box the wind, but you can put a sail up for the wind to catch. And we help each other do that, I think, in community. That Jesus, some of those yous in that passage where he says, you must be born again, one of those is a plural you, talking about the people of God.
We would say y'all.
Right.
Yeah.
I would. I don't know about everybody.
They have that. We don't have it in English except if you're Southern.
Right.
You or y'all.
Yes, right.
So that's, it's a y'all.
Y'all. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And we don't think about that, but that really does begin to make sense if we're trying to figure out when the wind's blowing and what it looks like to be born again. And we're asking questions about that and trying to figure it out, that we're in this together. It's not just up to me, but together we can recognize that and participate in it.
When it comes to knowing God, and this might be, we might transition here, but one of I guess I was like in a mood just to go off script, which is always dangerous. But I didn't really have this planned. At 9:30, I said, you know, this is like, knowing God is sort of like knowing somebody that you've grown close to, and it's a different kind of knowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like in Spanish, there's a verb for to know a fact, and a different verb to know a person. But we kind of know how this is. Like, who here this morning has been married for 40 years or more? And a bunch of hands went up. I said, keep your hands up. Now, I want you to tell me this. How many of you who have your hands up have your spouse completely figured out now after 40 years, and you know how, you know everything right. about them.
Never surprised.
And like all hands went down except one who's a smart aleck. I know I won't say who it was, but it was so funny because yeah. you know he's like, right. I've got her all figured out.
I probably know who it is.
Yeah. So I think we get that. Like, yeah. And the point is actually to know God, like what Nicodemus was trying to understand, that Jesus could only describe in earthly terms. That knowing God is less like knowing a fact and much more right. like knowing a person,
yeah.
which we treat God as a concept all the time.
Right.
So this is really important.
Yeah. Very important.
So
yeah.
knowing a fact, that you get more clarity the more you know,
mm-hmm.
and the more you dig,
right.
the more experience you have. To know a person, the further along you go, the more you grow in mystery and
right.
awe.
Yeah.
Right. So the goal of being married for 40 years is that you would grow in awe of the other
yeah.
that
right.
you've shared your life with and witnessed the moments of life
right.
and it's weird because you see old couples that are, it's very ordinary, you know, and they make fuss at each other or whatever, but they're almost like one person now because
mm-hmm.
it's not from knowing everything there is to know about them or have them figured out, it's given up on
right.
that,
yeah.
you know,
exactly. yeah.
and yeah. just being in awe of, and the gift of, I think, eternal life is that we get to do that with God and with each other. Like, we ought to practice,
right.
we get to practice that awe.
Yeah.
And for my so practically, in my experience, I go back and forth between what do I know and what do I need to know to
mm-hmm.
move forward, and what do I need to give up on knowing and just
yeah.
lean into.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to get it. I feel like I have to get less figured out as I
right.
go.
Right. Yeah.
There's, and I've probably been educated past my level of faithfulness. We heard somebody say, like, I probably have that going on.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm trying to forget stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying
yeah.
to just get more
right.
simple and live into
yeah.
the things that I thought I understood
yeah.
and I probably don't.
One of the things I say a lot is that the Christian life is far more an adventure than it is a test.
Because
if you take a test, you know, there's
right.
a right and wrong answer.
Yeah.
It's always about figuring out what am I supposed to do or say in this situation.
Right.
Whereas if it's an adventure, there are a lot of different things that can happen. But
good and bad.
Good
right?
and bad,
yeah.
right. But you're headed toward that place you want
mm-hmm.
to be.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it takes to get there, that's what's important, is the journey.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, so that I don't keep my eyes on my feet to make sure I take the next step in exactly the right place. But I keep my eyes on where I want to go and who I want to be. And yeah, I may stumble over some rocks along the way, but the direction stays the same.
Yeah, that's good.
And so that has been helpful to me, is to, and I think it's also this idea of trusting that God is in this with us, that He really is involved in my life, active in my life, helping me find my way and giving me grace when I mess it up.
Right.
And
right.
so, and that He enjoys that. He delights in that. I don't think Jesus was frustrated with Nicodemus.
I don't think so either.
I think He was kind of like, you know, this is how you start.
Right.
This is, you know, you're on the right path. Just keep going.
There is an irony. He points out, how can you be a teacher,
right.
an expert,
yeah.
and you don't get this?
Right.
But I think that there's some humor in, you know,
yeah.
when he says, you know, I'm an old man. How's
right.
this going to work
right.
logistically
yeah.
to,
right.
to be born again?
Yeah. And I think it's that play on that idea of teacher, because that's what Nicodemus calls Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Rabbi, teacher. You know that you are a teacher from God. So teach me something.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some facts. Give me some information. Tell me how. And Jesus says, you know, you're a teacher. How's that working out for you? Kind of
yeah,
thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think the certainty thing that we probably all are looking for, or at least, you know, there's the understanding that religion is about that, like
right.
answering the deep questions of
right.
life.
Yeah.
I don't believe that at
right.
all. I really don't.
Right.
It's not,
yeah.
I mean, I think the if you say you get it, then you really don't get it.
Right.
So that's negative.
That's right. Yeah.
And then certainty, I think, is really closely related to control, which we
yeah.
are all addicted to.
Yep. Yeah.
So I can know something with certain, then I can get control of
right.
my own life,
yep.
or control somebody else,
yeah.
or control God.
Yeah, fit him into that box.
Religion can just be a tool to control God
right.
or think that we have
yeah.
a control on God.
And how much fun is that when you know exactly what God's going to do in every situation, and there's always a, you know, just a lot more adventure to God being loose in the world to do what he chooses. And it gives us permission to ask questions and to have doubts and to be at home with those instead of being fixated on certainty.
Yeah.
As, you know, that faith is certainty.
Yeah.
Well, no.
With rational. It's okay to
rational
use our,
is a good
our minds. Right. But if we're talking Jesus and a Jewish leader at this time, this is before really Hellenistic and Roman influences in their thought, which we have in our thought. I don't want to get too philosophical here.
Yeah.
But we have all these ideas about God that so we bring in our categories and boxes that they do.
Right?
Yeah. That God's immutable or
omnipresent.
And those, like, that there's a different level of purity is a Platonic idea. You know, the higher you get up, the purer the form.
Right.
And Hebrew thinking is really kind of the opposite. The closer to the ground you get. So the Word is being made flesh and lives among us, and we've seen his glory. So when we think about God, we bring some categories that just probably aren't that helpful to reading the Bible.
Right.
Certainly
to
reading Old Testament or these stories of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like we're
I think that's a really good point.
All these categories
that
God has to be this, God has to be this, God has to be this, and it's like, God has to be anything?
We bring so many presuppositions and assumptions to our faith that are about rational. You know, it's like this idea that the rational is more important than the spiritual or the faith.
Or the experiential,
which is really not what Scripture does. Scripture elevates. It doesn't do away with the rational, doesn't discount that, but the spiritual and the experiential is more important. That's where God meets us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. But that's not what we don't judge it by whether it's rational or not. We judge it by the wind blowing and what the Spirit witnesses to our spirit, what is consistent with what Jesus has shown us in earthly terms to show us, give us a whisper or a shadow of what the heavenly is like.
Right.
And it's, I think it's that trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And if we want to know and discover, he will guide us into all truth.
One of John Wesley's favorite scriptures was that my spirit resonates with God's spirit and I'm a child of God.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and I don't know how you can't bottle that.
Right.
But if you have that and live out of it, the peace and the assurance that come out of that. And no, I don't think that's a one-time thing, right?
Yeah,
your awareness of that can come and go. But the more, I think, you live out of that, then I think it is sort of like being born again.
Yeah, right.
In my own experience, right? And I'm like you. I didn't have the one-time event in my life. I mean, I grew up not knowing a day when God wasn't talked about in our home.
Yeah.
Or, so, like, that moment might have happened for me probably before I remember,
right?
Yeah, right.
Sure.
And I was baptized before I could remember, and that's God's grace going way ahead of any thoughts that I had.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't give that up for the world.
Yeah, and, you know, I went to the altar literally probably 50 or 60 times trying to get that moment when the Spirit witnessed to my spirit, you are born again, because I thought I knew what that would look like, and I never got it in the way I thought it should look. So, you know, to be honest, when I was in college, I decided it was all a fake.
Wow.
That it wasn't real. It wasn't true because I couldn't get that experience, that one-time moment, in the way that I thought I was supposed to. And so when I was in college, I decided one day that I was going, that there was no God. I was going to go to my dorm room that night, sit on the bed, and say, there is no God, and quit looking, quit trying.
Wow. Wow.
And so I went to my room that night, and I sat on the bed, and I literally could not say those words. I couldn't get my mouth to say them. And so I thought, well, maybe there is something to this after all.
Wow.
So it wasn't that I felt like I was saved at that moment, but just that there was something to it, not to give up.
Yeah.
So
I would say the closest I've had to that moment is, you know, kind of coming to terms with my failures, right?
Yeah.
That I thought somehow that being perfect was the path, right?
Yeah.
And I would say the greatest communion that I've had with God and with other people is the realization that's just not going to happen.
That's right.
Yep. And
that's a powerful
and really finding
finding a great deal of peace out of that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, for me, because I know the same thing, I have to prove that God has done something in my life by accomplishing something.
Yeah. Whether we would ever say that out loud or not, it's just like underneath it. Yep. Yeah. Our natural tendencies.
But then we'll get to that place where we trust that God, He loves us, and grace will take any opportunity it has in our lives. Mm-hmm. And He has been active in our lives all the time. Even when we tried to shape it to look like this accomplishment or this deed or this work, He was like, you know, you're missing it, but that's okay. You're still getting it too. Mm-hmm. And then when we admit, well, you know, the wind's blowing somewhere else. We're doing something else, and I just want to find a way to be part of that. For me, that was it set me free mm-hmm. to recognize mm-hmm. all the different ways God works. It also connected me to other people. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to pretend or put up a front or convince people that I was good or a Christian or whatever. But I could trust that God, that I was because of what Jesus did, mm-hmm. which sounds pretty simple.
It does sound simple, but that's...
Yeah.
And it is like being born over again.
It is. Yeah, it really is.
And I want that for everybody. I want that for myself.
Yeah.
I think that's what God wants for everybody.
Yeah. I would want everybody to experience what God has done for me.
But some of it is just to chill out a little bit.
Exactly.
You know,
a huge part of it. It has been for me.
I don't know how else to say that, right?
Like,
take that pressure off yourself to try to force something that is God's to do.
Right.
So and he has give said up
he
control.
Will, yeah, he will do it. Trust, that's what he had. Just trust me. What is the work of God? Trust the one he sent.
Yeah.
Believe that he'll do it. And be okay with if it doesn't look like what you thought it would look like.
Right. But read about Jesus. I mean, those Gospels are pretty remarkable.
Right. Yep.
There's stuff I don't understand about Jesus, but the more, the longer I go, the more I read, the more I pray to him.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what he was saying to Nicodemus is, start over right here, just with me. And then look back at those boxes and those categories and that old, the Torah and all that stuff. And you'll see it, don't throw it away, but you'll see it differently.
Yeah, because it's hard to give all those things up at once, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you really do need something to stand on.
Right.
Richard Rohr talks about two halves of life. You know, you get the categories in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second half, you figure out which ones were right and which ones were wrong and which ones don't really matter or how in some ways it all doesn't matter. But you have to start somewhere.
Right.
So I think I've said this before, like people who are not sure about the tradition they've been handed and like there's some bad stuff that they don't believe anymore, then the temptation, like you said, is just, well, I just throw it all away and just give up completely.
Right.
And I don't think it takes that.
Right.
And you just got to... kind of got to live in the tension for a while.
Right.
And God's in there.
Right.
And that tension
that's
can
where you
be
find
so,
it.
So helpful and healthy.
Right. Yep. Mystery and tension are always part of it.
We probably could talk for another hour, maybe.
Well, you know, we don't have time.
That was a lecture.
A couple of things. You were talking about questions and tension, and it made me think of one thing, is that we are going to be launching groups next week. And so if you are watching and if you have questions, one of the groups that we would love for you to participate in, if you never have, is Alpha. Those will start on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday night, and then the following Sunday night. We will have two opportunities for that. We have a Disciple Fast Track class, which is something that Wayne taught last year, or he led last year. We have another staff member that's going to help lead that this year. That's just going through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're just the Gospels, you kept talking about reading the Gospels, September 24th is right around the corner where if you're still following along and you're holding out for the New Testament, it is coming, friends. It is just in a couple of weeks.
Bible reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the Bible reading plan.
Yeah.
If you're still with us, if you're still reading.
Hang on.
Or you can just pick up on September 24th and start the New Testament.
You
can do whatever you want to do. But we are actually going to be taking a break here at Q&R at least throughout the month of September. And so just know that next Wednesday when you, if you're on Facebook scrolling through at noon, we will not be here. But if you have questions that pop up from your reading or anything like that, please don't not email those to us. I can have one of the guys to email you back or chat with you about those questions.
Or we
if
can
you
work
have
it into a sermon.
Or we can, you can work it into a sermon. We'll be in John throughout the entire month of September, so if you have questions about John, definitely send them to the guys or to me, and I can get into them. But that email is questions@broadwayunited.org, and so we will see you sometime. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.